Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Guys, full disclosure, I just got done watching the maybe the most dramatic game in World Series history. The Cubs overcoming all sorts of history and everything else to win. It was incredible drama, amazing on all levels. I have to go from just watching that to talking about that piece of garbage game that the Grizzlies played. Whew! All right. Come on with me. Let's do it. You're Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in Locked On Grizzlies Extreme Postgame Edition. I say extreme because it's like way late at night. I'm recording this. It is super late. I should definitely be asleep right now. I got a radio show to do here in Memphis in like, I don't know, 6 hours, but I'm jacked up on adrenaline after watching that game. Plus, I've got a job to do. I got to bring you guys Locked On Grizzlies postgame, and we do it after every game, even after those games. And yes, that game for the Grizzlies tonight was a very ugly win, but a win nonetheless. The Grizzlies moved to 3-2 in overtime, knocking off the Pelicans 89-83. But it was by no means a vintage night, and it brings a lot of discussion points to the fore. We'll talk about that coming up here on this very podcast. You'll also hear from the locker room and a few of the interesting discussions that I had. Give you some of the clips from that. I talked to a number of different Grizzlies who had some very interesting things to say. I don't know where you even begin with this game. I guess the fact that Marc Gasol, who played 38 and a half minutes, by the way, was 3 of 18. Zach Randolph, who played just 19 and a half minutes, was 5 of 18. That's 8 of 36 combined for the stalwarts inside. Mike Conley was 6 of 14. So you knock that onto the old tally, and it's 14 for 50. That's 28% that the three most important players playing right now for the Grizzlies went. Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, 14 of 50. And Marc Gasol, who did hit a three, his only three in overtime. The dude is unstoppable in overtime, but he was eminently stoppable in regulation, finishing 3 of 18, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He does find a way to fill up the stat sheet, and he was valuable, but just not scoring the basketball. That just wasn't there. He didn't get to the foul line. The game, the team honestly was off all night. This was a weird night watching the Grizzlies play. Offensively, big problems. They shot just 35%, and both Mike Conley and Marc Gasol were way out of sorts, had horrible games. By their standards, they were nowhere near their best. Maybe they were thrown off rhythm by the rest. I don't know. And Zach Randolph, after having such a dynamite start offensively in the first three games, was totally disinterested in the game, the blowout game on Tuesday night. Did not really even care to participate. And then, you know, last night just was not able to get it going. He missed his first 7 shots. He was not a factor down the stretch. Again, didn't play, and he's not thrilled about that. So the Grizzlies, in spite of all of that, boy, they got bailed out big time by Jamichael Green, who was huge tonight. 9 of 12 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, including the game-tying 3, 21 points, 6 rebounds for Jamichael Green, 16 and 10 for James Ennis, who was a team-best plus 25 in a 6-point game. That tells you his importance. He was tremendous. No time for Andrew Harrison with Tony Allen getting the start and playing 27, almost 28 minutes out there. No time for Andrew Harrison. I was surprised to see that Deontay Davis, after a strong performance on Tuesday night, did not play. And I think they could have used him inside, certainly in the first half when the defense was really struggling, just to give a different look out there. And I asked Deontay after the game if he was, you know, injured or if there was a reaction from his foot. He had some plantar fasciitis type stuff that he was dealing with. And he said no. He said he was healthy. So it was not an injury-based situation. It was just a DNP-CD, the old coach's decision on that one. Wade Baldwin, another impact rookie, the other first rounder. When I say Deontay Davis, he's not technically a first rounder, but it feels like one, and he's getting paid like one. Wade Baldwin, though, just 4 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. Another rough night at the office for Baldwin defensively, trying to do too much. Again, another matchup with a draft pick, Buddy Hield. He and Buddy Hield matched up quite a bit out there today, and it was kind of like what we saw against Chris Dunn last night, or the night before, I guess, from the Grizzlies. Wade Baldwin just trying to do too much, out there. And he's having, after some really bright starts, and it's kind of mirroring, actually, his regular season is mirroring his preseason. He had a very bright start in the first preseason game, and then the rest of preseason he was not very good. Kind of the same thing here. His first regular season game against the Timberwolves last week was excellent, and since then he has come back down to earth considerably. But frankly, the entire Grizzlies team, apart from James Ennis and Jermichael Green, came back down to earth with a pretty strong thud tonight. Big shout out to the people at SeatGeek who are helping bring you this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You know SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. Some of you may have been at the Pelicans game down at FedEx Forum because of SeatGeek. There's nothing like being at the game, even that game. It's awesome for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. Listen, you get the SeatGeek app on your phone. It is so easy to shop for tickets. Doesn't matter where you happen to be. You just tap your phone a few times and you are finding not only the best seats out there, but the best seats for the best available price. SeatGeek can guarantee you that you're going to get the best available price because they're going to give you the best bang for your buck. Everything's based on value. They scour all the ticket sites so you don't have to, and you know it's backed by their 100% guarantee. My listeners right here on Locked On Grizzlies get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do, ladies and gentlemen out there, is to download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code LO Grizzlies. That's LO Grizzlies. And then after your first ticket purchase, SeatGeek is going to send you $20. Huh? It's that easy to make $20. Go to the settings tab in the SeatGeek app, add a promo code LO Grizzlies. Download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LO Grizzlies today. Support the pod and support yourself. Save some money, get some great tickets with the SeatGeek app. Okay, we got to talk about a few things specifically from this game. I was alarmed to some extent by some of the performances. You would have thought that Marc Gasol would have been freshened by his rest, but if anything, he looked rusty. He didn't look like himself at all. And so many of the baskets, yeah, he wasn't popping out to the three-point distance the way that he had been in the first three games of the season. Didn't see that from Mark. The spacing looked like it was off. Some of the pick-and-roll stuff from Mike and Mark, guys that have been running pick-and-roll for, you know, 10 years or so, 9 years or whatever, however long Mark's been alongside Mike Conley, they've been running that forever, and it looked like they just met. I mean, the sequence toward the end of the game when they ran that pick and roll that like ended with Mark heaving the ball from half court and missing everything, I don't even know. It was like they had never met. And these are two guys that know each other extremely well. It was bizarre. But that wasn't the only bizarre thing about the game. Mike Conley, who is super quick and is able to get to the basket, was struggling at times to deal with Omer Asik, who would hard hedge on him, and Mike would struggle to get around him. You know, Mike struggled defensively with Langston Galloway, who for a long time was the best player on the floor and was killing the Grizzlies out there. That's alarming. That's alarming this early in the season for Mike to be showing that. Now, some of that is structural, and some of that is the fact that they're going through the changes they're going through offensively and defensively. There's a lot of different stuff. So, and you know, Tony Allen comes back. You're dealing with some new personnel that can cause a few issues, but that doesn't explain why all of a sudden Mike looked a step or two slow. Doesn't explain why Mark was not at all in the flow of the offense the way he had been previously. It's weird. It was very, very weird. Zach Randolph struggles as well. They were very weird too. So I talked a little bit to Mike Conley after the game, and I asked him, was it inevitable that there would be offensive troubles given the fact they had to work Tony Allen back in, they had some changes? Was that just going to be inevitable?
I mean, they're not going to be pretty, especially, you know, like you said, bringing in new guys who haven't touched the court in a while or haven't been in practices and, you know, weren't in all the, you know, sessions like we had been going through over training camp or, you know, just touching the court for the first time in months. So it's going to be an adjustment for us all. But, you know, if we can continue to just fight through it, fight through the little bad spells and win those games, however we got to win them, by the time, you know, January hits and we're rolling, we'll be good.
I also asked Mike Conley a little bit about the pick and roll defensive problems that the Grizzlies have had, the inability to keep teams from getting into the paint, those kinds of issues that have been really causing teams to go nuts inside. And in fact, the Pelicans were perfect in the second quarter inside, 6-6 in the paint. They were 9-12 in the first half. It got better in the second half, but that has been a struggle for the Grizzlies all year. And here's what Mike Conley had to say about that.
We weren't a bad defensive team in previous years. So we know as a group, a core group here, that we know how to play. We know different styles that we like to play, and Fizz has his. So we're going to try to blend that, I'm sure, and try to, you know, come together. And we talk all the time, so we're trying to figure it out as we go. He's a first-year head coach. We're first time together as a group, so we're going to figure it out.
And you can hear there that there is still very much a feeling out process going on with the Grizzlies inside the locker room along with David Fizdale. I mean, it's inevitable that a group that has been together as long as the Grizzlies have and a coach that comes in with some new ideas and a new way to play and a little more aggression out there on the pick and roll, especially with personnel that doesn't really match yet with the way that that's going to, the ideal way that he would want to play, that there's going to be an inevitable kind of push and pull, a little bit of tension there. That I think that's what you hear from Mike Conley. He says, you know, we have our way of playing. He has his way. We're going to come together and figure it out. And I suspect that they will, but I think we all kind of expected, and based on preseason and maybe just some of the things that were said, we maybe expected that it would be a little bit quicker. But at least on the defensive end, there's still work to be done. I also asked Mike, who, you know, he played 38 minutes tonight, but he played zero the night before. I asked him what his thoughts were on being rested.
It was frustrating. I can tell you that yesterday. But at the same time, you know, I trust our staff. I trust the coaches and what they have in plan for us all. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. If that means you got to sit me or play me 12 minutes or 20 minutes one game, I'll do it. So it's just going to be that.
I will tell you that the look on Mike Conley's face when I brought up being rested was one I am not terribly familiar with, because he was not really thrilled. Mike's not the kind of guy that's going to rock the boat, but I don't think he necessarily expected that he was going to be rested on Tuesday night. And I'm not sure, as he pointed out, he said, I was frustrated. I think that may be putting it mildly. So let's talk about the minutes thing for a second. Mike plays 38 minutes after being rested. Marc Gasol played 38 and a half minutes after being rested on Tuesday. And again, Fizdale, after the game, kind of sort of chuckled a little bit and talked about how he had kind of, you know, maybe blown past the restriction again, or maybe he was, you know, it was gonna have to be something that Mark would have to make up for on the back end. I asked David Fizdale in the pregame, you know, whether the sitting on Tuesday had to do with the fact that Mark did go past his minutes restriction on Sunday, and he said, yeah, one thing leads to another. If I if I overdo it in one game, I'm going to have to make it up on the next game. So to me, this is a little bit alarming. This is a little bit alarming because it represents going away from the structured, continual rehab process that we have seen. You know, you had Marc Gasol being very disciplined for months and months, and now you have a 20-minute restriction on Sunday, turns into 29, which then leads to complete rest on Tuesday, somewhat controversially. And then on Wednesday, you go back to 38 and a half minutes in an overtime game. I don't get it. It's like all or nothing. And I don't think that playing Mark 38 minutes in a game at this point in time, especially when he was playing poorly, it wasn't like he was playing well. I mean, they needed him defensively, but offensively, he was awful. And there could have been, you know, a defense offense substitution. There could have been other ways to kind of minimize his minutes. That's a lot of minutes for the guy to play. 38 and a half minutes? I must tell you, I don't understand that at all. And that seems like a very reckless approach to one of your most important commodities and a guy that you're going to need long term. His foot can't be in a position now where it's good enough where you can say, ah, what the hell, let's go out there for 38. I don't know what his restriction was tonight. I can't imagine that it was like 40. That's not a restriction at all. So if you're playing 38 and a half, who knows? Just a little fast fact, Tony Allen was on a 20-minute restriction tonight, and he ended up playing 27. I don't know what these restrictions are. What's the point of the restriction? They don't restrict anything. One of the unquestioned positives, though, this year has been Jamichael Green, who has really thrived in that starting role and was the best player on the floor for the Grizzlies tonight, with respect to James Ennis, who also had a really good game. But Jamichael Green hit big shots, did a lot of really good things. And I had a chance to talk a little bit with Jamichael Green, who started off this interview by talking about how he felt about his game tonight.
I feel like I had a great game tonight. And as long as I stay consistent and play the way I play tonight, you know, we'll be fine. And I know Mark and Zebo and Mike, you know, they're going to step up every night. You know, James, he's been playing real good, you know, this season so far. So as long as, you know, we continue to play our roles and do things that we're supposed to, we'll be in a good situation.
Not a lot of bigs on this roster that can do the things that you can do, both athletically and then one-on-one. Is the scheme set up really well for you?
Yes, sir. You know, Coach Fizz, he has a lot of confidence in me in guard. And, he said he wanted me to be one of the best defensive players that we have. So, you know, I'm just trying to meet that challenge, you know, and try to fulfill it. Just try to go out there every night and stop whoever I'm going against.
He calls you Draymond a little bit. He said you have a little Draymond in you. Do you model your game after him at all?
I mean, I don't model my game after, but it's similarities. You know, we do have similarities, and, you know, Draymond, he's in a great situation right now. So, you know, you know, my hat's out to him. But, you know, I'm just trying to stay in my own lane and be me.
You know, you've shown a lot more aggressiveness on the offensive end, too. I mean, you're 9 of 12 tonight. You hit that key three that, you know, helped tie the game up. Are you now looking for your shot more within the offense? Because it's not something that you've been doing. Yeah, that's not really your role the last few years.
Just trying to knock open the wide open shots. You know, I'm not trying to get out of character and force shots, you know, and try to come down and get a quick one up. Just trying to pick my areas, you know, when it's slash to the goal, offensive rebound. If I have a wide open shot, I'm going to let it go, shoot it with confidence.
It's pretty good performances with Karl Anthony Towns and AD. That's not a bad thing to add to your highlight reel. Does that give you confidence going forward?
It certainly does. You know, just seeing myself going against these type players, knowing that they're going to have the ball in their hands majority of the game, you know, I think I've been doing a pretty good job.
You will not find a nicer guy in the NBA than Jamichael Green. You will not find a more legitimately humble guy than Jamichael Green. He's one of those guys that you really do, you can't help but pull for, because he's just such a good dude that he makes you, it makes you kind of happy when you watch him perform and watch him really perform as well as he has, because you know the guy's worked his tail off, he's earned it, and he is really respected in that locker room. So it's tremendous praise that goes to him, and rightfully so. He's been a real success story so far for the Grizzlies, and a nice find and a nice job of taking a kid. And, you know, he was part of the Spurs organization. They do a pretty good job of spotting that talent, and the Grizzlies have really helped him to thrive. He is going to be an interesting case next year as a guy that can certainly get paid. He's gonna make some money. So I asked you guys to help me because I knew this was going to be tough. This game was ugly. It was real ugly, in fact. And it's been an interesting start to the season so far for the Grizzlies, who are 3-2, but two of those wins have been overtime games at home against teams that, vary. I'd say the Wizards are okay. The Pelicans are not a good team at all, certainly not as constructed now. And even if they get, you know, Quincy Pondexter and Tyreek Evans and Drew Holiday back, I think it's debatable as to how good, you know, they're going to be this year. Then you throw in the two games against the Timberwolves and the Knicks. I don't think are not only do I not think they're a super team, I just don't think they're really even going to end up being a very good team. So the schedule hasn't been tough for the Grizzlies. They are 3-2, but you take away a couple of possessions here and there, could not far away from 0-5. So I asked you on Twitter. I said, guys, help me out. I got to do a post game pod, and I want it to be good. I want to be entertaining, so I need your help. If you could sum up in one word this Grizzlies season thus far, what would it be? And you guys were absolutely overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. I appreciate it so much that you guys were willing to help me out on this. And so I'm going to give you as many of these as I possibly can with as many of your names as I possibly can. So I appreciate that. Our pal and guest on the pod, Chris Harrington, popped in with inconclusive, which was actually true of Tony at TTAUK_01. He said that. Some folks agreed with that, as did our buddy Joe Mullinax from over at the Grizzly Bear Blues blog at Joe Mullinax said inconclusive as well. I think that's true. It certainly is. Any five-game series and five-game stretch is going to be inconclusive almost by definition. Now, Amy at Hoop City Hellcat, she says drunk. Amy, I like you. Ben A at BenRow74 says feeble. J.S. Mem says basketball-ish. I would say that certainly defines tonight and probably Tuesday as well. Larry Coley. Our buddy Larry Coley, at Larry Coley Mem, says uninspired. Tyler Townsend, at TB Townsend 86, says sure. All right. Chase Lucas, at Deep Fried Couch. Chase is a good dude with the GBB blog, says okay. Okay. I'm with you, Chase. Memphicity Design at Memphicity Desig. We ran out of characters there. Says Fizzpyramid. Great word. Fizzpyramid. How do we pronounce that? David Joyner at DDL Joyner says you need to find a way to give Zach more minutes, IMO. That's too many words. I just said the one word, David. At Curtis D. Moore, Curtis Moore. At Curtis D. Moore 86 says tragic. Whoa, tragic. Jonathan Lindsay at Stumpbuster 9, alarming. I'm kind of in that category, actually. I'm closer to that. Jonah Kaufman at Jonah_Kaufman, who wished me luck tonight on this pod. Thank you, Jonah. He said, what? Yeah. I think that's one way to put it. What? DB, just DB, at OkieTech623. I love reading. There's nothing I love reading more than Twitter handles. He says up and down. That's three words. Come on, one word. Simple. One word. John Crossmox says mystery. Confounding. Ben Brown, at Ben T. Brown, Periwinkle. Thank you for that contribution, Ben. Calvin Pearson says, encouraging. I like the positivity, Calvin. Weird, goofy, incomplete, multiple weirds, in fact, As I'm rolling through these, I've got to speed up. So apologies if I'm missing your name. Ragged, Trashtastic, Enigma, Strategery, says Josh Coleman. Our friend Katie Forbes, NBK, at Katie Forbes, says, Ait. Ait. Teetering, Evolution, Average. Interesting. Interesting from many, many counts. There are quite a few more. I got to as many as I could. There are many that I've probably missed or overlooked or accidentally skipped over. So my apologies if you sent one and you did not hear it on the pod. Thank you for listening, and I will try my best. And if you send me a note, I will send you a reply of apology. That is my promise to you. If you have listened this far and you are dissatisfied, you did not hear your name or your word, I will send you a reply of apology if you get to me. Guaranteed. That is the Locked On Grizzlies, Peter Edmiston guarantee, baby. I'm giving it all to you. My word, I would kind of go along with alarming, because I think there's a lot more that, you know, inconclusive, I think, is the baseline, because it's of course it's inconclusive. There's still so much that we don't know, and you still have yet to introduce Chandler Parsons to the mix. Who knows about Brandon Wright? So, you know, if you can get your full squad and then you see what happens, then you'd have a better idea when everybody's healthy of what the top end of this thing looks like. But for now, the defense is so porous and there are so many challenges. You have the issues with Zach Randolph. And Zach, I saved the Zach discussion for later on in the pod, but Zach is not thrilled with the situation right now. He has said that he is surprised. I asked him, you know, was he surprised that he's not finishing games? He said, yeah, I'm surprised. He said, not much has changed from last year in his mind, at least in his performance. I wrote about it today in the Commercial Appeal. For those of you that can check it out, it is there for you at the CS website. My numbers game was on Zach Randolph, the good and the bad, and the bad was the defensive side. And I think that's why Fizdale can't play him in these crunch time minutes. He just doesn't trust that he's going to be able to be part of a unit that can get a stop right now. And that's a fair criticism of Zach at this stage of his career and with what Fizdale wants him to do in the pick and roll. But it doesn't necessarily sit well with Zach right now. So that's something you're going to have to manage if you're David Fizdale going forward. So all these issues that are kind of surrounding the team at the moment, that makes me a little bit concerned about the season thus far. And you'll hear tomorrow on the pod my discussion that I happened to tape before the Pelicans game with our buddy Kevin Leip at Flyer Grizz Blog. And we get into some of this about the expectation level, about how, you know, your ability to be okay with the Grizzlies resting players is sort of inversely proportional to what you think the season's going to look like. You know, that is to say, if you expect this team to win 50 games, then you're not going to be very happy about resting players. But if you didn't think this team was really going to make the playoffs, then you're not as concerned, because, you know, what are you really you're playing for at the end of the day? So these are the discussions that have to come in, and Zach is part of that. His expectations are different than maybe the coaching staff's expectations for him. All those things, they will work themselves out over the course of a season, but the early signs are that there may be a few more growing pains than we thought. The game on Friday against the Clippers will be very interesting, because the Clippers, I think, are a cut above any opposition that we've seen so far, and a cut significantly above the opposition that we've seen. Zach even joked a little bit after the game that he was going to go talk to Fizdale and try to beg him and say, you know, ask him if he could start because of the rivalry with Blake Griffin and the Clippers and what it means. And I think he was joking, but kind of not joking, if you know what I mean. So managing guys in the locker room, you know, managing a young team, getting development minutes, but also getting, you know, trying to get wins at the same time. It's hard to juggle all this stuff. It is not easy for David Fizdale, and to do it while also monitoring minutes of key guys and having to deal with, you know, the front office and the training staff and everyone that's working alongside of you and kind of, you know, trying to push you in the direction of resting guys. They don't necessarily like it. There's a lot of, you know, elements that are kind of working against each other to some extent. So this is a big challenge for David Fizdale early on. I think it's one that he can handle. I think he's a terrific personality and a growing coach, but it's not easy for anybody to deal with what he's going to have to be dealing with over the next few weeks and months with this ever-changing team. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Edmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.